Blog Talk Radio.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. You're tuned to Time to Talk About It with your host, Pastor Gina Michiva-Porter, coming to you from the beautiful city of Orlando, Florida, city of sunshine, palm trees blowing in the wind. Oh, yes, and I wish you were here. Wish you was here. Beautiful day, little crispy, but, you know, pleasant day. Yes, it is, and the sun is shining. How is the weather in your part of the world? Huh? Call us. You can let us know, and we'll talk about it. We'll just, you know, pray for you and whatever your weather is, whether you like it or not, it's still your weather. Yes, it is. So you can call us at 347-857-3925. 347-857-3925. You know, I want to send lots of love and hugs to every one of you today, letting you know that I love you regardless. You don't have to love me back if you don't want to, but I'm going to send you some love anyhow. And I'm going to send it through what? Prayer. My prayers. I'll send you my love through my prayers. All right. Is that all right? You know, it's a blessing just to be with you today and able to talk and, you know, just think about it. Think about it. It's just a pleasure, you know, and to know that, what, you're on the other line. Amen. Amen. I thank you for being there. Okay, here we are with Sister Diane.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, we bless your name, we magnify your name. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord Father, giving you honor, glory, and praise, thanking you, Lord Father God, for this day, Lord Father. Father, as I pray, Lord Father God, for each and every person, Lord Father God, Father God, I ask you, Lord Father God, to just have your way in their lives tonight, today, Lord Father. Father God, I pray today for the young lady named Diana right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Father, that been in a car accident, Lord Father God, from 2015, Lord Father God, can't walk, can't talk right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. Have slight movements, Lord Father. We know, Lord Father God, that nothing is too hard, Lord Father God, for you right now, Lord Father. Father God, strengthen her body right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. Father God, touch, Lord Father. Oh, Father, touch her family right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father God, you have done it before, Lord Father, and we continue to say thank you, Lord Father. Father God, we pray today, Lord Father God, for Teresa Disher right now, Lord Father God, that lost her son, Lord Father God. Give her the strength, Lord Father God. Give her the peace right now, Lord Father God, that she needs right now. Let her know, Lord Father God, that you have not forsaken her, Lord Father God, and there is no mistaking you, Lord Father. Give her that peace in her heart, Lord Father God. Father God, for she's really taking it hard, Lord Father God. Father God, touch, Lord Father God, Stephen, Lord Father God. Touch his body also, Lord Father God. We speak healing, Lord Father. We speak healing, Lord Father God, to Zoe Rose, to Raymond Jr., to Lori. Father God, we speak healing to their bodies right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. We speak healing right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, you said by your stripes We are healed, Lord Father, and we're thanking you, Lord Father God, for touching their bodies right now, Lord Father. We're thanking you right now, Lord Father God, for even touching Nikayla right now, Lord Father. Touch her body as well right now, Lord Father. Father God, you heard what the doctors say, Lord Father, and we know that nothing is too hard for you, Lord Father. Father God, touch her mom, Lord Father God. Strengthen her mom as well, Lord Father. Father God, we thanking you right now, Lord Father, for touching, Lord Father God, the upper respiratory problem that Miss Joanne has, Lord Father. Touch her right now, Lord Father. Father God, give her peace, Lord Father. Touch, Lord Father God, the aches, Lord Father God, that she have right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord Father, touch, Lord Father God, each and every person, Lord Father God, that is listening, Lord Father God, to this broadcast, Lord Father God. You know what they're in need of, Lord Father. Father God, we thanking you, Lord Father God, for your will being done, Lord Father. Father God, I ask you, Lord Father God, to cover this broadcast, Lord Father God, under the blood, Lord Father God. And we cancel any assignment, Lord Father God, that was sent towards this ministry right now in the name of Jesus right now, Lord Father. We render it null and void in the name of Jesus, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to decrease, Lord Father God, my apostle and my pastor as they bring forth the word, Lord Father. Father God, use them, Lord Father. Touch, heal, deliver whoever, Lord Father God, needed at this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus, glory to God. We thank God for that prayer that's coming from Sister Diane today. And we want to just add to, you know, prayer for, you know, the people of God that is going through at this time in different parts of the world today. You know, there's so many catastrophes going on, and you can never get too much prayer. You know, we need prayer and then some more prayer and then some more prayer we need today, you know, because of the unfolding of so many things in the earth today. All right, let me give you a little word here today. How many real Christian soldiers would our churches have on their rolls if public worship were illegal, our sanctuaries ill-heated, and all Christians ill-treated? How many real Christian soldiers would our churches have on their rolls if public worship were illegal, our sanctuaries ill-heated, and all Christians ill-treated? All Christians. Now, you know, they say some of them ill-treated. And, you know, that's both ways. A lot of people like to blame it on the pastor, that it's the pastor, you know, don't know how to treat him. But the pastor's job is to let you know when you sin. That's the pastor's job, you know, because they got to give an account for you to God, okay? So if they don't tell you about the sin, the blood going to be required at their hand to get the picture. I hope you got that picture, you know. And stop all. In the first place, don't blame nobody, you know, because pastors be ill-treated by congregations, you know, and all too. So, you know, we could go both ways on that. So why blame anybody? Just get it right and stop the madness. That's the way I see it, you know. Praise God. But, you know, who wants to see what I see, huh? Hallelujah, Jesus. We're going to continue on today with what we had started on the previous broadcast. We're going to continue on about it. Talk. You know, there's so much can be said concerning it, because this is the one part of ministry that we don't believe we should take more time with. You know, we were to take time with funny games. We were to take time, well, what do I do to, you know, keep the children, you know, attention. You can't keep children's attention these days. They just got short attention span. And you ever seen all of them, little babies included, and old babies too, got short attention spans, you know, today. That's just the way the world is. It's like, you know, I like Maxwell House coffee today, and tomorrow I want, what's his name, Folgers or somebody. You know, this is how our attention span is. I like my husband today, and tomorrow I like somebody else's. You know, people got real short attention spans today. You see, so we got to get ourselves lined up with the word, you know. And people don't understand the word of God anymore when they hear it. They know what they want. They want to be entertained. And I'm not an entertainer, you know. I'm here just the messenger of God, and I am not an entertainer to keep you entertained. Now, you're supposed to already know Christ, and you're supposed to know who you are in Christ because you don't want nobody to tell you anyway. So that means you're supposed to know who you are. So why should I entertain you? Entertain yourself. You know, that's what I'm thinking of, okay? Because there's so many people that has a need today, going through great traumas and trials and tribulation, all kind of confused situations in their lives, and they need help. And there's some mentally deranged people running around. These people, all these people need to help. We need to pray more for these people. You know, Jesus told us to pray for our enemies, you know, and those that despitefully use us. I know you don't feel like it, you want to throw a brick, but listen here. God, the Bible says pray for them, you know, because they need help. In other words, what is God saying? They need help. Huh? Because they want to make themselves your enemy, but they need help, okay? Know that. And when you get that in your head, you will know that prayer is very essential. It's an essential thing in your walk with Christ, okay? Very, very much so. You should be praying. Now, I'm going to tell you a couple of scriptures first here of prayer. I mean, you know, there's plenty of them, hundreds and hundreds of them in the Bible. You know, you can just about everywhere you go, you can see. But then the word pray don't always say pray in the Bible, and he say ask. See, and you got to have a conversation with God. Do you get the picture? Most times we don't want conversation with God. We like conversation with people. And then when we have conversation with people, we talk at people, not to people. How about that? Okay, you see? So we're going to go today, give you a few scriptures as we go along, too, and talk to you about prayer. I love prayer. You know myself. I'm going to tell you, I found out that I can reach great heights through prayer. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. Let's start with Luke 22. 46, I believe it is. Why sleep ye? Rise and pray. Lest ye enter temptation. Huh? Now let me tell you. Now there are just a few people are able to accomplish much in prayer. Huh? They can't accomplish too much in prayer because they're doing what? Sleeping. Huh? People are sleeping. The power of prayer lies not in how much we pray, but in how much our prayers are in accordance. Let me read that again. How much our prayers is in accordance with what? The principles of prayer, what God has already laid out for you. All right, now, this is where we are today. And listen, I told you on the previous part, God don't work by itself, okay? He don't work by itself. He worked with you, huh? With you. That's what he does. You know, you can always see 2 Chronicles 7:14. When you get your chance, you can read it if you feel like. If you don't, well, praise God, you missed it, okay? And he gave us our Father prayer, the Lord's prayer. He gave us these prayers, huh? And if he prayed, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, huh? He prayed and he prayed and he prayed till the sweat wasn't sweat no more. It was like blood, like he was shedding blood already in the garden. Do you see what I'm saying? He was shedding it in his prayer. Now, we have not, you know, Paul said we ain't yet resisted unto blood. We ain't got there yet, okay? And yet we got people swearing that they are great prayer warriors, intercessors, and everything all over the land. But have they been resisted unto blood yet? Have they prayed until its blood came out? Now, that's some serious praying. God knows it is. Ooh, Lord, have mercy. Mm-hmm. But listen, when God gives you and calls you to prayer, why can't you pray? Why won't you pray? Men ought to always pray and not faint. Didn't he tell you pray without ceasing, didn't he? And he gave you an example in Scripture, did he not? Come on now, he gave you an example now. Come on. We just do God so bad. He gave us opportunity to do what? To call on him. All right, Jeremiah 33 said, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now, if you don't know nothing, ask God. Hello? Hmm? You want to know something? Ask God. This is all he's saying. The things that you don't know, if you want to know, ask him. You know, you go, well, you know, I would ask my preacher, but they don't want to answer no questions. Yeah, well, maybe they don't know the answer. Have you ever thought of that? Instead of judging them, why don't you understand? Maybe they don't have the answer at this time. They're not going to tell you they don't have the answer. Me, I ain't got good sense, they say. So I just tell you quick, say, listen, I don't know the answer to that right this minute, but just give me a little bit of time and I'll get it. I'll get you an answer for it. Unless you go to somebody else and try to find it, you know. But God say, ask, call on me, and do all these things. What is he doing, huh? He want you to do what? Ask him. Now, in 1 John 3, he said, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, listen, he's giving you an answer right there, huh, to your dilemma. Whatever's going on in your life, he say, and whatsoever you ask, we receive of him because we keep his. Now, you know, that's the little catch there. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, see, we do things pleasing in our sight and they're pleasing to other people, but we don't do things pleasing in God's sight for him, for his benefit. Hmm? Things that God has ordained to be right. Hmm? Okay, come on now. I know if you don't want to say amen, say ouch then. That'll help you, you know. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, we oftentimes be trying God, okay? Why don't you, instead of trying, take this other T and say, trust him. Trust God, okay? Now, if you read the word, and the word says he promised you something, he promised to never leave you nor forsake you, that means whatever you're going through, he's going to be there, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Do you believe it? See, my thing is today I ask people, do you believe what the word say? Now, you say you believe God, but you don't really know the word, so therefore do you believe what the word say? Hmm? You see where our relationship with God is between prayer and God? Hmm? That's the relationship he's trying to make for you, and you won't see it. You don't want to read because I don't like to read. You ever seen somebody that don't like to read? I know you got these computers and you still got to read. It ain't got a picture. It ain't a picture computer. It's words. You still need to look at the words on there. But let me show you this. You just can't take what everyone say. You have to have someone that God has led you to have confidence in that they will tell you the truth. You see what I'm saying? We don't often have that. We want something that's going to tickle our ears. Mm-hmm. You know, you want somebody to tickle your ears and go the way you want to go. Huh? You want a Keurig. You don't want the regular coffee pot. Hmm? You want one of these new fancy ones. Well, are you willing to pay the price for it? Then go get you one and stop fussing about somebody else in their old-fashioned sit-on-the-stove kind of coffee pot. You see? So we got things mixed up because of what we want. Ain't about you. It's about God. Huh? Prayer is not just fulfilling our needs, but also to fulfill his needs. Who's his? God's needs. Hmm? And his needs will be fulfilled through us. Okay? Because our needs should be where? Lost in his will, in his what he wants. That's where we should be at. Have you ever thought of that? No, you thought of what you want. And the world is a selfish world. Everybody wants everything their way. Well, you can't get it your way. Huh? The whole world is not named Burger King. You know, it's not that. You see, you can't have it your way. He's looking for righteousness. And he works on righteousness. He works on holiness. Do you get the picture? He works on obedience. He works on order. We want to do our order the way we want to have it. Okay? Well, I didn't ask for this hamburger with no mayonnaise on. I don't want no mayonnaise on my hamburger. Then you start to fussing and carrying on. See, that's because you wanted it your way. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, if you want it your way, listen, you can't have God's way, too. Think about prayer going on. Here Moses trying to get these people delivered, bring God's word to fruition. He's trying to do this. He's working on it. And the people acting up just as bad as Pharaoh, you see? And this is the way it is today. Huh? The church world want the preacher to be everything they think they ought to be. You see? But they can't be what they want them to be because God got a mandate on them, their lives, and they got to be what God called them to be. You see what I'm saying? So here Pharaoh is holding these people in bondage. And Moses is there trying to tell him what God say about let the people go and all of this, but he's not hearing it. Do you see? He won't hear. It's just like the so many churches today is wondering, what is wrong? What is wrong? What is wrong? Well, it's what is wrong, we got a bunch of pharaohs running around. Hmm? Everybody want to be in control. Everybody want to take over somebody else's job. Well, you take all you can to do your own job without trying to take on somebody else's, you see? And prayer is not being made thinking about, should I be here or should I be there? Should I go over yonder to that church over there or should I go over there? Nobody asks God about it anymore. So therefore you end up in a place, and when you get there, you want that preacher, pastor, whatever is there, you want them to accommodate you in every way you can, and they probably got about 200 or 300 more people to deal with, and you want somebody to just deal with you. And you didn't even pray whether God told you to be there or not. You see? I like to know myself. I'm a little nosy. I guess you can call me that if you want to. But I like to know, what did God say about it? If you leave your church and come over to my church, I want to know how you got there, who directed you there, and also do your pastor know? Because I don't want no trouble with nobody else saying I'm a sheep stealer. Now, I got a whole lot of sheep stealers been up in my church. And Steve Tiny, and I feel like this. If you could pull them out, they ain't mine. Do you get the picture? Hello? Y'all, well, you know, if I'm wrong, y'all call me and let me know I'm wrong. You know, but that's my idea of the whole thing is because those that are mine are mine. That God has given me to them and them to me. See? And so, therefore, they will stay with me. Do you get it? I guess you get it after a while. But Moses had power in prayer, you know. And he spoke to the enemy. He told Pharaoh, you know, God was the one sent him. And Pharaoh don't know who God is. And he don't know, but, you know, I know he done heard something somewhere about those Israelites. So he tried. He was, you know how the devil do. He going to try to keep you in bondage anyway. And he going to tighten the reins on them, put them even tighter on you to keep you. He will make things beautiful, you know. Hey, they don't believe in going to the dances, and they don't believe in drinking or smoking. They don't believe in playing with the flirting and all of that. No, flirt with your own self. See, no, we don't believe in all of that. Do you see? You're supposed to live according to the word of God. And while you live in the word of God, you're supposed to be friendly and happy, not miserable and mad. Now, you see the difference? We know where you are when you're miserable and mad. You ain't in Christ Jesus, because he said that he came that your joy may be full. And when it's full, it's going to remain full. Not today it is and tomorrow it ain't. Okay, I get a little aggravated. You know, y'all pray for me. I tell you to pray for me right now, because I'll get a little upset when people change. Like when the day they one thing and tomorrow they something else, and then they say they Christians. If you pray as much as you pray, how you gonna be standing around for the next 10 years looking like the ugly duckling? You know, mad, mean, always fussing and complaining. Nothing ain't never right. Something got to be right sometime. Okay? See? Here Moses is delivering the people. He spoke to him with authority. Spoke to the people, and the people don't know, who are you? We don't know you. Where you come from? You know, they have forgotten. They done been in bondage so long, they done forgot the book. They done forgot the word that God had given them. They done been in there so long. Well, now here is Moses got to deliver these here stubborn, hard-headed people. Get them out of there. He already having a problem with Pharaoh, and he got a problem with the people too. That's double trouble, ain't it? Now, he going to take some whole lot of praying and talking to God here, okay? So Moses spoke as God gave him the authority to over the city. Plagues came. The 10 plagues showed up, huh? And Pharaoh don't know what to do now. He mad, upset, but he can't do nothing about it because it wasn't his. He tried his magicians and everything, and they cannot compete with God's wrath. He can't compete with it. Not even that. You know he can't compete with the blessings, don't you? Well, what happened? He went, Pharaoh said to Moses, he had a plenty of sense, didn't he? He wasn't that crazy. he couldn't get rid of him. He said, Moses, entreat your God. Now I want you to pray that your God move these curses, these plagues. Huh? Can you see that? He had confidence. Now he saw the hand of God working in Moses. Do you, can you imagine that? He's seen that with his own eyes. Then he said, entreat him. He going to let him go. He lied, you know, of course. He, you know the devil going to lie anyhow. You know he going to lie. I'm going to let him go. You just get tell your God, preach, talk to him, and tell him to move these plagues. I'm going to let him go. Making them vows. See, them vows are telling you, you're always promising God you're going to do something, and you do something else totally different. Do you get the picture here how we do? Huh? And then we expect God to just bypass that because we say we go to church. I told you who you churchgoers was, normalist. No kind of connection to the church. You just go there because of the church. Your grandma went and Uncle Paul went and Joe Bo went and everybody else went, so you going too. Oh, where my friend, my best friend go there? I'm going there. But did God tell you to go there? God may want you someplace else. Don't want you in the family church. Because once you get in the family church, then everybody want to boss everybody else and say, well, this is my family church. That's the first thing folks say. All of that is wrong. Huh? God ain't sanctioned all that stuff. But we deal with it. You live in it, and we say we're doing what God called us to do. Well, you're on the wrong train track. See, this is the express train over here, and that's the slow train over there. So you jumped on the slow train, and you can't hardly get nowhere. See, that's that train you jumped on. But what happened? God, you heard Moses, he prayed again, and, you know, the plagues let up, and he still ain't let them go. Did the devil let you go? We've been praying and praying and praying. I'm going to say, I stopped and I said, listen, God, I don't see nothing moving here. I don't see nobody getting nowhere. Let's see what we can do here. What's wrong with this picture? Do you get the picture here today? What's wrong? Huh? Well, now, tell them I'm going to take all the firstborn sons. Now, I'm going to hurt them real bad. God said, I'm going to hurt. I know where to hurt them at. See, that's why I told you, you don't need to go to no witchcraft doctor. You don't need to be trying to cross people up and all that stuff. You can leave them alone, let God take care of them whatever way he wants to. That's his business. And your hands will be clean. See? You ain't got to go up there and try to take care of the person you feel like is your enemy. Why are you always trying to hurt people anyway? I just don't get that. I'm a Christian, but you study hurting people, trying to hurt folks. Well, I'm going to hurt the pastor. I ain't going back no more, and I ain't going to give him no money. See, people talk all that kind of noise. Somebody told me that one time. Oh, she going to miss my money. I said, I'm not going to miss your money. It's your money. Because I believe that whoever, when God want to give me something, he going to move on who he want to give me something. And there ain't going to be no strings attached to it. You see, do you get the picture here? Stop trying to hurt people. If you do more praying than manipulating and trying to hurt folks with your tongue, see, to be like, I think it's somebody in the Bible, I can't remember that, who it was, seemed like it's vaguely. The tongue cleaves to the top of your mouth. It stick up there and it won't get back down because you're running your mouth too much. Instead of praying, calling on God, be standing in the gap for the people that you think did you wrong, or standing gap for what is wrong in your church. That's why he sent you there, so you can stand in the gap for what it is, and God can make it right. But you want to make it right. I'ma hurt it. I'ma pull all the people out. You know, you got people like that in people churches. They mad. They want everybody else to be mad, so they spread a whole lot of lies and start pulling people out. Now, you know that's wrong. You know that ain't no Christ in that. And you follow them, you just as crazy. See? And you going to get paid the same thing they going to get paid. Whatever God let happen in your life that you ain't going to like. See? I'm not speaking nothing against you. You know, you can get along, go along like you going and think it is going to be all right. But that word say one thing. Whatever man sow, that is what he going to reap. That word is going to follow you, whether you want to believe it or not. Amen. You can try to lie to me, but it ain't nothing going to happen. Amen. Let me tell you. Think about Job. All that Job went through, lost everything, and his friends, here his friends supposed to be helping him and bringing him through, they weren't. They were, you know, saying he must have done something against God. Now, you're supposed to know Job. He's supposed to know his friends. They're supposed to know him. And then they talking about what you done wrong. But I'm telling you this here. You can't even do that. You see that? You thought that was right, what they were saying. Nothing wrong with that. See, you got to watch the slightest things you say. See, because you could get yourself in trouble by a little no harm thing that you say. What did happen? What did God tell say to Job? See, the anger, God's anger was kindled against them because of what they said to Job. Now, Job already in big trouble. He already got a whole lot of trouble on him and lost all his children, his cattle and everything he owned, and now balls all over his body and everything. His health is in jeopardy here also, and here you up here instead of praying for me, you go up here, help it, put some more on. But let me tell you what God said. My servant Job shall pray for you. Now God's anger was against them because of what they said to Job when Job was in trouble.
Oh my God, come on now.
Do you get the picture here?
All right now, come on.
And God said, for him will I accept. See? For him. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his sins. When he prayed for his friends, even they were talking against him because you know how people get when you're sick. You know how people get when your church has got just a few people. They run their mouth. There's something wrong up in there. There ain't no people up in there. Running your mouth gonna get you in trouble. But why you wanna say that? You know, he said, well, two or three gathered in my name, then I'm in the midst. So if they only got a few, they still with God. Did you get the picture? And watch out now. You get the same thing that Job friends got. Do you get the picture? Huh? Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth, huh? Instead of doing that, help him pray. Say, Job, well, I'm going to help you pray. That God restore you and all your goods. See? Go that way instead of the other way. Trying to bring him down. Trying to make yourself look good. If you don't look good to nobody, you look good to Jesus.
Amen. My God.
You don't have to put on a mask. You don't have to put on a costume and pretend you somebody else.
Oh, my God.
See? Just be yourself. God will take care of that. Job was himself with balls and all. See? In God's time, God was going to restore him. Do you get it? See, and anybody in God's time, he will restore. He will, if he wants certain buildings, churches, or whatever to get more people, he will. He is going to restore it. That's a guarantee. But in his time, not your time, to satisfy you or to make you stay. God ain't got to do nothing to make you stay. If you want to go, keep moving. And let the church roll on. That's what the old folks used to say. Let the church roll on. Think about Jonah now, dishing he was in. Don't tell God what to do. He was mad. Or God going to, you know, we sometimes think certain people shouldn't be saved. Where you get that from? Huh? He said he wanted all to come repentance, to repentance, to repent. They ain't repent. Huh? All don't repent, all don't accept Christ, all don't believe in Christ. We get that scenario. We got that. Huh? But the fact is this. You can't tell God who he wanna save. Jonah was in a bad condition and he run off because God told him to go to Nineveh. He gonna go the other way. See? God don't care where you go, he gonna be there. If you get in another church and God tell you something and you say, this way I called you to be at, you better stay there. Don't jump up and talk about because the preacher done said something you don't like, you going to another church. Just going from one place to the other don't make sense. You are a confused person. Do you get the picture? You're confused. Mm-hmm. Yeah, read your book. You'll find out how confused you are. And God starts beating you down with his word. You talking about, well, the preacher, he beat you down with the word. Well, ain't he supposed to tell you about your sin with the word? With the word of God? No. See, you ain't even got there yet. And you already done lost something. What happened? He all up in there on board. And these men, here these men, here the sea start doing some odd things. You know, God can stir up some chaotic stuff, can't he, to get your attention. Or you may be somewhere you ain't got no business being, and God will stir up a hornet's nest where you are. So he on board, and people want to know, what's going on here? And tell Joe, wake up here. Finally, let's see, who are you? Who's your God? What you doing out here? Call on your God, because we finna drown. Here, he gets up and know immediately. He know what it was. He said, listen, this is cause of me. He confessed. Can you confess? Something is caused by you, and so you, the only one, can rectify it? You don't pray enough to find out this now. You got to find out these things. All right? Jonah, he said, throw me overboard. Now, you know, you hesitate a minute, say, throw the man overboard. He said, well, he told us to throw him overboard, so you just throw him on out there. Huh? Because I don't want to die, so he want to die, let him go. That's what he want to do, so I'm throwing him over there. Soon as he fell in, there was a fish right there that swallowed him up. Huh? Now, he could have avoided all that slime that he had to endure. He could avoid that by doing what God told him in the first place. Huh? By the inquiring, God, is this way I should go? God, I want to be sure this way you want me to go at, God. I want to be sure this is where you want me to be, God. I don't want to be here because of my children. I don't be here because of my mother, father, sister, brother, husband, wife, grandmother, whoever. Huh? That's pray it first. We have a saying, what did God say about it? Before you do it, what did God say about it? Huh? What did he say? Jonah couldn't do nothing until he got inside the belly and found out he was in a sad condition. Huh? That's when he decided to pray. God will get you in a position where you ain't got nothing else to do but pray. You got to look up. huh? And call on the name of the Lord. Do you hear me today? That's what you got to do. And he called on God out of fish's belly. Huh? And when he called on the Lord, I don't know what he said. But I know one thing. He called on him loud and clear and enough that the Lord spoke to the fish. He told the fish, he heard the prayer, and he told the fish, vomit him up, vomit him up. And he vomited Jonah on the dry land. Huh? See? Is that what you need to do today? He was disobedient. But when he began to pray sincerely, I mean, can you imagine you ain't got nothing else to do but pray because you're wrapped up with all whatever's in the fish's belly, what he done ate for supper, dinner, or whatever, all wrapped around you and all kind of vile stuff and everything. You can't do nothing but pray. But the Bible say God heard him and delivered him. Did you hear that? He got delivered. Did you get delivered yet? Huh? Did you get delivered yet? Are you like Pharaoh? Yeah, I'm a let him go. You promised God stuff until he let you go. Huh? And then you still ain't learned nothing. Well, I could pray again. I can always pray and God don't hear me. And God don't always hear you now. I'm going to tell you right now, because you done it too many times. See? What happened? All right, I'm going to say, just a couple more. There was a Aaron after Moses was up on the mountain praying and everything, and Aaron, he got in trouble. Okay? And he just, well, I think, let's say it this way. He wasn't where Moses was in God. Okay, but Moses had to pray for him and kept on praying and day and night, and he prayed 40 days and everything. He had to pray, see, and Moses even said he fell down, and before the Lord, he said he won't eat no bread, drink no water. He just fell down. And he had to talk to him about the sins of these people. This is what pastors are encouraged to do today. To fall down and begin to call on God for the others that are weak and can't pray. See, if you got a pastor and your pastor's weak and can't pray or sick and need your help in prayer, instead of you putting them down and talking about them, why don't you fall on your knees and fast and pray and call out their name before God? Huh? And then when you come back to church, you see how the hand of God was listening to your prayer and answering your prayer, and you see the difference. Now, wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something? Now, when we was talking about Jonah, we was talking about Jonah and the fish and all of that. What happened? Huh? The whole city prayed. That's a revival by itself, ain't it? Woo, Lord, have mercy. And what did the man? The man started telling God. He wanted God to remember them. Lord, you know, hey, we part of the bunch too. Hey, remember us. Can't you say that? Pray to God. He'll hear you. He'll hear you. You know how bad your situation is. Thing is, we get in these situations, then we don't want to call on God. We want to work roots and all this his stuff to get stuff done. That is crazy. See, Jesus is the answer to all. And living the life, living the life. Not, you can't just get God to move and you ain't living nothing now. He'll move, all right, knock you out. See, somewhere. But you got to do some prevailing prayer, some prayer that can get through to God. That's by faith, that faith in you, that living the life in you. Do you hear what I'm saying? Living a life. See, and you can hear God say, I heard your prayer. The answer's already there. Get, oh my goodness, I like that. Remember, you and everybody know Hezekiah, don't they? The story. When God pronounced on him that, you know, he was going to die, and he didn't just take it because the word came from the prophet. Now, if the word come from the prophet to you, you say, get out of here. I don't want to hear that. Well, I'm sorry, but this is the word God brought, gave me to give to you. And that means you got time to get yourself straightened out, you know. Got himself straightened out. He got himself straightened out, didn't he? And he told God, remember, Lord, remember all I did. This is what he say, isn't it? Huh? And do you know what happened? God heard it. Said, Isaiah back right back in there. Sent the prophet right back in there. Tell him I had 15 years to his life. Whoo, my God, that's a fast answer, wasn't it? So these people knew how to pray. And we got to know how to pray. There's many more through the scriptures that we can bring to you and let you know that, let me tell you, these people have gone through the same thing you're going through. All of them have been through something similar to what you're going through now. And God give that there so you'll know that he will hear your prayer too. If you cry to him and fast and pray and fall on your face before him, humble yourself. See? Listen and obey his commandments. He gonna hear you. It's a guarantee. He'll never leave you alone. That's what he said. But he's looking for those that are going to walk up right before him now. Now, you can't walk bow-legged and lap-legged and everything else. You can't do that. Expect God to be there and boom, he's going to answer your prayer, work a miracle for you right then and there. Somebody got to pay the price. There's got to be a sacrifice. Do you get it today? And I don't talk about killing nobody or present no dead body to no God or nothing like that. We ain't talking about no doves and killing no cats and all them other things you kill. Sacrifice. Who are you? Sacrifice yourself. Sacrifice the you for the God that's in you. Let him show up and show out. Hello? Have a prevailing prayer, okay? And when you do, make sure your ears are open to listen to all his commands, what he tell you to do. If he tell you to pray for your enemy, then pray for him. Stop trying to kill him. Okay? Amen. Praise God.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I tell you, this is a powerful subject this morning about prayer. And we thank God for the word that came from Apostle Porter this morning. And one little quick input with St. Luke, the 22nd chapter, verse 46. And he said unto them, why sleep you? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Rise and what? And pray, lest you enter into what? Temptation. And when you look at the word, when it tells us to rise and pray, rise means to do what? You have to do something. You have to what? Praying is what? A petition, praise and things that you bring before God. And You enter you. That's your time to commune with God, commune with him, talk to him, sing with him, worship him. And when he said rise, rise means to do what? Get up from a lying position or kneeling posture, you know, to become active in opposition or resisting, to be built up. In other words, rise up, be built up now, be erected. You know, you got to do something. You got to be built up. So when you pray, you what? You build up the Holy Spirit in you. When you pray with your Lord prayer language, he builds you up from the inside out. So if he builds you up from the inside out, what happened? You're able to resist what? Temptation. You're able to go through, because he say, lest you enter into temptation. People, you don't pay attention. You have to constantly have a prayer life, or you got to talk to Jesus. You know, you really got to just talk to him. And even with your issues, you say, why we said issues? Our problems, the things that you go through, the things that hold you down, the thing that discourage you, oppress you, press you, irk you. These things you got to go to him in prayer. He's the best person you can go to. There's sometimes in your life you cannot tell no one what's going on. They ain't going to believe it anyway. My goodness. Because sometimes you say something, they say, no, that's you. You lying. But you know what? When you know that, you know who you can take it to? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Why? He's a God that sees all, knows all. He knows the real deal. He knows if you put a little more exaggeration in it or not. But he's the one. You go to him. Tell him about it. And you know what? You ain't got to worry about it. What you're looking for is the manifestation of the word coming through, that God will let you know, I heard your prayer. I'm sending help your way. I'm sending a word to encourage you, to build you up, to let you know I heard what you've been talking to me about. And you know what he said? Deliverance your way. Remember today, you got to do something so you don't heal what? Into walking to temptation, that you will let you enter into temptation. People think temptation is just the normal little thing, but you know what temptation means? You're going to do something you don't normally do. Why? Because you get sick and tired. But remember today, while you're going through your journey and God is processing you, remember to put him first in everything. Know that he's able to bring you through. He's able to do everything that he said he will do. And you know what the best thing about it? You can tell him, repent. You can say, God, I'm so sorry for doing this. And you know what? He knows your heart. He judged the heart. He sees the heart. He knows whether or not you mean it or not. But you know what? What I encourage you to keep doing is keep getting up again. Do not allow your situation to hold you down, but rise up and walk today. Rise up. Rise up today. Allow your spirit man to go above how you feel and start putting a praise. Let that praise come forth from the inside, and you change your atmosphere around you.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Now, you know that's an awesome word from Apostle Porter and Pastor Sharon. So you know what? You can go ahead to blogtalkradio.com/timetotalkaboutit. If you need to listen to this broadcast again, just go ahead and just click that play button, and you can listen. You can have church all by yourself today, okay? Know that prayer changes things. Sincere prayer change things, okay? Remember now, we serve an awesome God. He is a merciful and forgiving God. We are the ones that are not merciful or forgiving. So come on, join us tomorrow evening at 11 p.m. for the Wailing Walls prayer line and tear the devil kingdom down. That calling number is 218-548-6746, code 3333-pound. That's 218-548-6746, code 3333-pound. So come on, let's tear the devil kingdom down. And guess what? Let's pray one for another. Let's pray for our unsaved loved ones. Let's pray for the nation. Come on with sincere prayer, waging war in the enemy camp tonight. I mean, tomorrow night, I tell you, it's so awesome. Prayer. You can never stop praying. Pray one for another. Pray even for yourself. Pray. So today, be encouraged, be blessed, and hope to hear you on that prayer line tomorrow night. Be blessed.
On my mind, searching for that peace, the peace I could not find. And I kneel down to pray, pray, help me please. And he said, you don't have to cry, 'cause I'll supply all your needs.
As soon as I stop worrying,
I stop worrying,
worrying how the story is.
When
I let go,
and I
let God,
let him have,
let God have his
way. That's when things
start
happening. Struggle from day to day. I had to realize that it's not my battle. It's not my battle to fight. I had to know if I put it in his hands, everything would be alright. Yeah.
Let God.
He can handle it all.